Drones are the future, and the future is here now. If you've been enjoying the content from the Props Clear podcast, be sure to subscribe to my YouTube channel, Jillian Angeline, so you can get notified about the latest episodes. Now, this show is for informational, educational, and entertainment purposes only, and none of this constitutes legal advice. Fasten your seatbelts and let's get started. Today's guest is Bobby Carr. He's a UAS Solutions Consultant with Valmont Industries. Thank you so much, Bobby, for joining me for the Props Clear podcast. It's so nice to see you again. We had met back in August when I took the certification course at Valmont to learn more about working with transmission lines and learning using drones to be able to photograph areas of concern along long stretches of those lines. So thank you so much for talking with me.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Okay, great. So first of all, I want to talk with you about what you do specifically for Valmont. What is your life like for the company?
Yeah, right now I am a UAS solutions consultant. So what I do is come up with ideas with the companies or our customers to figure out what's the best plan of action. So they want to implement a drone program, or if they want to hire us for the services, some sort of inspection, whether it be utility or telecom, I come up with the best way to fit their needs, because we can tailor our services a lot of different ways.
And what you do a lot of the time is you're out in the field using drones to do a lot of inspections, correct?
Yeah, that's kind of how I got my start with drones. I was doing a lot of field work. So after I got my Part 107 license, I started working with Valmont as a inspection pilot. So I would go out in the field, perform a series of photos per structure. And then at the end of the day, we would upload those photos to our inspection team, and they would review them and then submit them to the client.
And Bobby is being humble, because from what I heard, you could do, what, 30 to 40 miles in one day, throwing the drone up, getting all the shots. And this is using really beautiful, large drones with nice lenses underneath these drones to be able to get really great close-up shots. They're prosumer drones. Once you fly something like that, you really don't want to go back to flying something that feels more like a toy, like some of the other products out there. What you're able to do is take these really beautiful photos up close of every little inch and of the lines. Going from the top of the pole all the way down, you have those nadir shots, which are the ones where you get to bring the drone all the way up above the pole and then look down to be able to make sure that it's straightened out. What is that experience like for you doing 30 miles of this? It seems like awfully repetitive work, and meticulous work as well.
Yeah, it's repetitive, meticulous, but also exciting. You know, it's an adventure. Typically, you're out in these rural areas that, you know, nobody on the planet really gets to explore. You get to see a lot of wildlife. You get to see a lot of things, you know, other than just the drone and the screen all day. So it does break up the monotony. But within that, you know, I do think you have to have a passion for what you're doing, regardless of if it's drones or whatever. So that does keep you focused. You know, you want to have a good reputation with the team, and, you know, you want to carry the team on your back, per se. So you really want to put in the work and make sure that you're meeting your daily goals or exceeding them.
One of the things I'll never forget about taking that course is that first day, it's a lot of classroom time, not any field time. But one of the things that blew me away is talking about, you know, the equipment list, including snake traps, and what to do when the cows start coming over thinking that you're basically the feed man and not the one flying the drone. So when you talk about getting to see wildlife, also encountering wildlife while you're trying to do your job.
Right. Yeah, and you do have to be mindful of that, you know, especially their sensitive wildlife or even farm animals. Horses can get spooked very easily, but you can even run upon some insects and things. You know, I've had ticks and ants, and, you know, seen a lot of snakes and things like that. So you're out there in the wild, and I do think you kind of have to have the mindset that you might see something crazy that day when you go out to work.
Safety is such a big part of, the aspect of flying the drone and everything, but you also have to think about everything else that comes with just flying the drone, because all of that can be distracting. You know, all those things you just mentioned, and I was just talking about as well. So how are you able to make sure that the drone stays safe in the air while you're dealing with those other issues?
Yep. I do think you have to have a series of checklists, you know, things to keep your mind right. You know, like you said, it's repetitive and monotonous. So having those safety checklists to go through anytime you go to a new area and a new terrain, if you go from a rural area to a metropolitan area, you want to go through your safety checks again, you know, reevaluate the area. And, you know, and that kind of keeps you in line, you know, keeps your mind on certain things. Because, you know, there's safety concerns with you in the vehicle, and then there's safety concerns with the aircraft in the air, whether that be striking a line or a building. That can affect not only what you hit, but the things below it. So there's a whole list of safety checks that we have. And like you said, through the Ascend program, you were able to see our checklists.
Yeah, and they're extensive. When you think about it. And there's so many things that after being in an environment like taking the Ascend course, you know, so much of what you employ is the basis of the Part 107 course and the Part 107 updates that you have to take from the FAA. Everything's so well tied together. And it talks a lot about teamwork, using the help of visual observers, and being able to work together with others to, you know, for a common goal.
Yeah. And that's our whole thing, is you have to collaborate in this job. Typically you're working with at least one other crew member, and you have to make sure that the communication is strong. And we focus on that as well. And then you also have to make sure that you're staying on the same page, realizing that, you know, the teamwork aspect, you know, needs to be both personal and work when you're working so closely together.
Let's talk about why this is so vitally important. Going back to the basics of, you know, why do you work with these companies? Why do these companies even ask for something like this? Why do they want their poles inspected?
Yeah, when you're dealing with critical infrastructure, you're not only dealing with a ton of liabilities and things like that, but it's a responsibility. You know, that grid is powering today's world. And so when you look at it like that, it is a really serious thing. And most of the companies that we work with are being really proactive in finding mistakes, whether it's, you know, new construction and they can find, you know, tie up those loose ends after the construction, or if it's older infrastructure and they're thinking about replacing things like insulators, we can go in and find the and pinpoint the exact locations of where their high risk areas are. And then we can apply that and have them focus on those areas. So it's really invaluable, considering a lot of this infrastructure is in either swampland or desert, or, you know, areas prone to blizzards. And, you know, throughout the country, we have all different weather and regional aspects. So it's nice to be able to get ahead of it and be able to coordinate ahead of time and do these replacements and repairs.
And can you imagine if you or someone had to literally go to every single pole, put on all the necessary equipment, climb up and look at every single inch of it, and then climb back down, get in the car, drive another 20 or 30 feet and do the same thing constantly. I mean, something about drones, this is why I do the podcast, talk about improving public perception, letting people know how important, you know, this kind of technology is. This is saving so many people time and money and helping people stay safe. You sitting there or standing there operating your controls is safer than you going, I don't know, 60 feet up in the air constantly, correct? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's safer and more efficient, which is rare to combine those two things, but that's what this new tech is doing. And the efficiency is only going to get better as AI gets integrated. You know, we're working on some AI models that are learning as we go. And, you know, it's increasing our efficiency.
Can you talk more about that?
Well, I can't get too deep into detail, but, you know, we're definitely, you know, keeping up with the competition and really focusing our efforts on new tech and staying ahead of the game.
When you say competition, are there other companies out there like Valmont that are doing a lot of this work, inspecting pole by pole with the drones?
Yeah, not only are there other companies, but there's a lot of companies like telecom and utility that are developing their own teams. So we're even helping them as well with consulting services to integrate drones into their own practices. So either way, if the customer is using us or not, we can help them. But the industry as a whole, we're definitely gaining new competition every day. And whether that's big companies or local companies, everybody's really interested in drones right now.
And if you think about it, the one thing I really do remember, well, I remember a lot of things from that course. Another thing I remember is, some of the pictures that were shown just on some of the slides of just as how easy just a couple broken pieces on these lines can cause massive forest fires because it can create a spark, because just, something is corroded or something is a little bit rusty and it makes the entire structure weaker, correct? It's like little nuts, little bolts, little pieces. There's like the static line connectors, right? Like there's just little pieces that can, that can cause something like the Paradise Fire in California or something like that, correct?
Right, exactly. And those little pieces are really hard to inspect from a bucket truck and things like that, especially in rough terrain. So that's where new drone technology and our shot list combined, really does kind of give you that 360 view. So we're really pushing to, kind of encompass that whole liability aspect because it is hard. It's, we're talking thousands of structures, and when you're out there in the field, you realize how difficult it would be to manage this without this new technology. So within the next few years, we're anticipating that every company throughout the country at least will be using drones to monitor their infrastructure.
You have to be careful about how the angle of the shots, because the sun puts glare on a lot of these different, pieces, and you want to make sure that every single inch is connected properly.
Right. Yeah. And when you're moving quickly, you don't have the luxury to, wait on a certain time of day to get the right angle, for that particular insulator. You just have to make use of the camera and work the best angle that you can at the time. And from a pilot's perspective, it might take a few more seconds, but quickly you start to make those adjustments as you run down the lines and you kind of find what's best. And you also work with the customer. You can share those photos and say, hey, are these acceptable? Because if they say no, then you can say, okay, we'll capture this east side of the line on this time of day instead of us going there at 11 a.m. like we did last time. So, at the end of the day, we're going to make the client happy, but you still have to get the shot, So.
Of course, yeah. What brings you so much joy about doing this? You said it's fun. What brings you, do you have a specific day that you like can think back to that made you say, that was a great day. It was successful and I had a good time while doing it?
Yeah, I actually, the day I bought my first drone, as soon as I picked up the controller, I was like, I felt some sort of connection to it. And I was like, okay, I kind of want to do this all day, every day, So I just started and I just couldn't stop. But yeah, I kind of felt that feeling that, maybe like you hear a musician talk about, like, oh, it's all I wanted to do. And so, I was flying during the day and editing videos and photos at night, and I just couldn't get enough of it. And so then I got licensed and kind of pursued it as a career.
Do you also have a day in Valmont, in your Valmont history, that you can point to out in the field doing a lot of this work that you were actually, actually enjoying yourself fully while you were taking all these pictures?
Yeah, there was a day I was working just east of San Diego in the high desert out there, and We had to hike
No ants,
about.
no bee stings, no nothing like that.
Well, there was ants there, but we had to hike all the way up this mountain side, essentially, to perform like a really close range inspection on the structure. So it took about 4,000 photos to inspect the one structure. And getting there, I was just huffing and puffing and sweating, we got to the top, and I just felt this triumphant feeling, and I looked around, I'm like, I'm doing this for work. Like, this is amazing. It just kind of like had this surreal moment when I looked back and, could see the hillside, and I just, yeah, that moment stuck out to me for sure.
Oh, see, that makes you like appreciate the beauty around you and, God's beautiful earth while also, knowing that you're helping your clients.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, so now, if people see operations like this going on, maybe you, maybe it's not you, maybe it's someone else out there doing a lot of this inspection work, is there anything that they can do? Stay out of the way, maybe not bother the pilot, or if they do have any questions for the pilot, make sure that it's a moment when they're not necessarily, in the middle of a flight. What kind of recommendations do you have for people that may be watching this that actually end up seeing you all out in the field?
Well, yeah, we're honestly, most of us are drone nerds that would love to talk about it to anybody. But yeah, just give us that grace of the moment. If we're flying, let us land the drone, and then, we'd be more than happy to answer any questions. And I've told that to people and say, excuse me, please let me land, and we can talk about it. And we've had, good long conversations. People mostly are just curious about what's going on and how high the drone can fly and how fast can it go. But yeah, so like I said, we're always excited to talk about it.
It's surprising how big some of the how the big drones can go still pretty fast
Oh
when you get to
yeah.
watch them move. They can really move. And then do you have any recommendations for people that are interested in taking the Part 107? Someone who may be interested in doing something that you're doing right now. Do you think there are a lot of opportunities out there? It sounds like that there's a lot of expansion in this field that you're in right now with the inspections using drones to do this work. Do you recommend someone maybe look into it?
Yeah, absolutely. And getting licensed, there's a lot of online resources and even some local classes depending on where you live. But with that said, if you really have the passion, and you really do want to, kind of go on these adventures and fly the drones, it is hard work like a lot of other things. But at the same time, if you get licensed, you practice a lot, I would say about 25 hours of training. Then I do think, look into some formalized training. Like we have our classes, they're going to be more on an as-needed basis depending on the contracts that we have coming up. But with that said, there's a lot of good training out there that can help you kind of build your resume before you get that entry-level job, to come in. The industry itself is growing so fast, and like I said, it's getting that foot in the door that's the hardest part.
That's true, and that's why those Ascend classes are so important, because then you get on the radar of companies like Valmont, or you can get on the radar of other companies as well if you do, take a shot, send a cold email, make a phone call, something like that. I'm always a fan of, just reaching out and see what happens. And if anyone wants to follow you and follow you on your adventures, where do you post your updates? I know that we followed each other first on LinkedIn, but where else can people follow you?
Yeah, I'm on LinkedIn, and I'm Tampa Bay Aerials on Instagram. So that's where I post my content, kind of my passion work.
There's some amazing shots. So you should definitely
Thank
check it
you.
out if you haven't seen it. But thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. Anything else you wanted to add?
That's it. I appreciate it as well. You have a good day.
I'd love to hear your suggestions for future episodes. Email me, angelswings.jillian@gmail.com. That's angelswings.jillian@gmail.com. I'll see you later.